Okay, we are back with you at Yahoo Sports Radio on this Friday night, and it is time to hit on some NBA as the Celtics host the Denver Nuggets, a team that has proven a lot of its critics wrong. The rumors of the decline of the Nuggets, hey, all I have to say is I think that was greatly exaggerated because, yes, they lost a trio of some of their key players, their difference makers, but new head coach Brian Shaw, he has really stepped in and filled some very big shoes of last year's NBA Coach of the Year in George Karl. He's done a really nice job. So tonight, the Nuggets, they're on the road. They face the Celtics, who have certainly had their share of struggles. But this is a team that I think Celtic fans are learning to love bit by bit. And head coach Brad Stevens has demonstrated his ability to work with the roster and the players and just rebuilding the Celtics' offense. Of course, they had a win earlier this week on Tuesday night against the Bucks. Boston stands right now 8-12. We're going to be talking about the present. We're also going to take time to reflect on the past, a little bit of a history lesson. So if you're not learning, you're not living. And we are so delighted to welcome into our program author Donald Hubbard. He has just released a new book, The Greatest Celtic Stories Ever Told. Hello, Donald. How are you?
Good. How about you?
Oh, always always good when we're here at Yahoo Sports Radio and we're talking some NBA. And so let's talk about your Celtics because not very high expectations coming into this year. You got a new head coach, a revitalized roster, no more Paul Pierce or Kevin Garnett, and the longtime head coach Doc Rivers is gone. What's your evaluation of how things are playing out so far and the job that Coach Stevens is doing?
Well, he must be doing a good job because we're the first place Boston Celtics. We're the head of the whole division.
I know, okay.
With 8 wins and 12 losses heading into the game. And I think Brad Stevens, first off, is a terrific choice. And, you know, we all sort of were watching this pick with some consternation. I mean, after all, the great Doc Rivers had done so many good things for the team. And here's a fellow that comes up and very few people know anything about him. And I think some of the jaded assumption was is that he was going to be a transitional coach, somebody that would be there while the team tanked and then rebuilt itself through the draft. And he's not playing that game. And I don't think Danny Ainge's GM is playing that game. I think they want to win as many games as possible this year. I think they have no interest in tanking. And the reason why I like Stevens as a coach is that the players are playing very hard for him. And this is a team that could very easily be very dispirited, could be playing with at the same level and same lack of enthusiasm as some of the other teams in their conference, in their division. And we look at the Nets, where Pierce and Garnett went, and that's a miserable team. Nobody's playing for Jason Kidd. There's almost a mutiny on board the ship. And here we have a first-year pro head coach who seems to be having everybody buy into what he wants to do. And he's been very wise about it. He'll take somebody like Bradley and say, okay, you're not going to be a point guard anymore. We're going to emphasize your shooting. And that highlight shot by him against the Bucks is an example of, I think, the rejuvenation of his career, where he's doing a Larry Bird shot. He's out of bounds, up in the air, shoots it over the basket, back in bounds, into the net. That's a highlight reel right there. But again, I think it shows some of the joy a lot of the Celtics players are playing with now. And they're doing the best jobs in their best roles. And I think they appreciate their coach for that.
Well, you have a high confidence level in Brad Stevens. What are your long-term realistic expectations of what this franchise will be able to accomplish, not only perhaps this year, but is he the coach to take them to that next level and to ascend?
Well, I think he is, and I think he has to be, because I don't think this team is built to tank. I think they're going to win enough games that they're going to be in the playoffs. And, of course, they're going to have their point guard back. So I don't think this is a team that's going to accumulate picks by the hope of winning, you know, the top pick through playing poorly. And I don't think the fans will want to see that. When the Celtics have tanked or, you know, have appeared to tank, we'll just leave that as an allegation, it's not fun to watch. It's some of the worst basketball you'd want to see, and it's really not even worth going to the games for, even if you get free tickets. That said, I think what you're going to see this year is the team's going to gradually get better. They're going to have their point guard back. And I think what they're going to try to do is to sort of buy up. They're not going to get the greatest house on the greatest block of the greatest street of the country right away. But what they are going to do is they're going to incrementally increase. They're going to have their picks for the Nets. They're going to have some picks that, because of their record, aren't going to be as high up as they used to be. So they'll be able to hopefully get better players. And I think they're going to be able to also trade some of their expiring contracts or other picks for some other things. I think Wallace is an example of that. and perhaps Chris Humphreys too. So they're going to have some things they're going to be able to do where they're going to be able to incrementally buy up and improve their team. And they're not going to have the superstar that's going to lead them to the promised land, I don't believe. But I think they're going to more or less follow the guy that brought them the wonderful 6 years of the Big Three, which is to buy up and incrementally get three very good players or you know, all-stars, let's say, and then work your way through the playoffs that way. And that's going to take a while to do, but if you're patient and you don't take the Rick Pitino approach of everything has to be done today, I think they're going to get there.
Sports historian and author Donald Hubbard is along with us at Yahoo Sports Radio. The Big East Sports Show has just released his brand new book, The Greatest Celtic Stories Ever Told. We're going to talk about the past, but, you know, when you look at the Celtics' history, I mean, no organization has won more titles than the 17-time world champion Boston Celtics. I mean, they have an incredible tradition there, winning championships. You're talking about the process that's taking place right now within this franchise. I mean, are the fans willing to be patient?
Well, they seem to be because they're in the stands, and I imagine the numbers on TV are probably down. But you're getting very good fans now, just not in Boston alone, but in the NBA. There's a real appreciation that you're seeing the best players at the highest level. For instance, historically, the Celtics drew about half, two-thirds of attendance for their games when they're winning all these titles in the 60s. Now, they're filling up the new garden pretty much every night.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a real appreciation for the greatness of the NBA as a game, the internationalization of the sport, and the increased quality of play. So I think the fans are going to stick with it. I don't think they're going to stick with it for 5 years of awful teams, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think that they know what's going to occur. I don't think they're panicking anymore. And after the long drought they suffered before Danny Ainge really rebuilt this team with the Big Three, I think with that perspective, they're going to be patient enough to understand what he's trying to do, and that in the NBA, unlike Major League Baseball, there's no quick fix unless you win that superstar, the every 5 or 10 years best player in the league. And I don't think that's going to happen. I'm not sure it's going to happen to any team this year. I mean, we hear wonderful things about these players that are coming out for the draft, but there's no guarantee they're going to become another Kevin Durant, LeBron James. So I think that it's going to take a while to get all-stars back on this team and enough of them that they can play and beat everybody and win the last game of the season.
Well, Donald, there certainly has been a lot of buzz about the return of Rajon Rondo. Can you give us an update in terms of when he's going to be coming back? Of course, had that torn ACL last year.
Boy, I keep hearing different things on that one. You know, the cynical person would say that if the team was truly tanking it, you're not going to see him the rest of the year. That this is going to be the longest returning injury. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think you're going to see him fairly soon, hopefully before the end of the new year. And certainly, I think a key indicator that they do want to have him back and contributing is he is doing wind sprints, he is working out, he is trying to get better. And I think a more tangible example is looking at Sullinger. Now, here's a fellow with back surgery. They're constantly conditioning him, reconditioning him, getting him to lose a little bit of weight, get back in shape from, you know, pretty important surgery, and he's doing it. He's accomplishing it. So I think the indications now are that the Celtics are going to try to get back as soon as possible, and in doing so, really strengthen this team for the second half of the season and then see what they have.
And really strengthen them in terms of offensively, because when you start looking at the numbers, what the Celtics are 24th in the NBA, averaging around, what, 92, 93 points per game.
Yeah, and Rondo helps a lot with that. Plus, he's very good at distributing the points around, and he's a very dynamic presence that way. One of the things that struck me, though, is you talk about offensive statistics, is already you're seeing how the team is buying into, I think, a lot of what Stevens is preaching. And all the games I've been watching this year, I was sort of observing to myself that they seem to be better at offensive rebounding. They're getting more, and they're trying to get more offensive rebounds. And I just checked the stats today, and they're getting about 2.5 more offensive rebounds a game. And that's attributed a lot to Kelly Olynyk and then to Sullinger. These are fellows that want to get in there, want to get the offensive rebounds. And I notice it, and apparently now I notice it accurately. So, I mean, that's a big part of an offense, too, is if you get those offensive rebounds, you can get some easy shots. You keep the other team off of their transition. and I think that you're going to see some good things happen there. I think you're seeing good things happening with this team, even as it's presently constituted, which is not going to be a world championship club. So I think some very good habits are being instilled now, and along with that, a winning attitude, which negates trying to tank a season.
Well, and the other thing too, Donald, is a guy that's a winner is Jeff Green, number 8. I mean, he has had so many memorable games. Of course, the buzzer beater, I've talked about it on my show before, against Miami, hitting that corner three, that was huge. But I mean, he posted 31 points against the Cavs. He was strong and aggressive against Memphis at 26. And this is a guy, let's not forget, had open heart surgery. I mean, just an amazing...
Well, exactly. And again, you see it with Sullinger, and that's why I think Rondo's going to come back. A fellow with open heart surgery is coming back and playing at a very high level. He's that buzzer beater is incredible. I had watched the
game.
That
was fabulous.
And I TiVo'd it and rewatched it. And you almost had to watch the entire thing because there's no way on earth, even if you know what's happening, you're thinking this team is not going to win this game. And then all of a sudden, out from nowhere, there's this shot. And it's sort of a hark back to another old Georgetown player, Sleepy Floyd, hitting this long shot from nowhere with no time left. And now Jeff Green is starting to hopefully enter the pantheon. Another thing Green does, though, is he's beginning to go inside more, which was sort of a criticism of against him in the past, which is he didn't play under the post. He sort of tried to hang around the perimeter. And that was actually almost a team-wide tendency. People forget what a great rebounder Kevin Garnett was before he came to the Celtics. He was phenomenal. And when he went to the Celtics, that part of the game started to lessen. And maybe it's because he was getting older. Maybe it was not going to be his role. But the team seemed to, as a whole, become more of a jumper team. So if you're seeing Jeff Green get in there, you're seeing Sullinger down low. You're seeing Olenek, who's a very thin guy, jumping in there. I think you're seeing some very good things. And again, you're seeing it with, for example, Green. He's becoming much more of a threat because now his game encompasses so many things. And when you're seeing the rebounding increase and things of that nature, you're going to see other aspects of the game improve. You're going to see more points. You're going to see more turnovers, things of that nature. And that was another thing is that the Celtics, even when they were very good with the big three, gave up way too many turnovers. And I think you're going to see less of that. And particularly when Rondo comes back, you're going to see that hopefully become more of a pattern where the turnovers are lessened. They're doing the little things like offensive rebounds. They're getting back in transition better. They're going down low instead of just taking these jumpers from the perimeter all game. And I think you're going to see the overall play increase, not just when Rondo comes back, but hopefully when they bring in new players. And there'll be players who want to play with this team. They all understand that there's a good coach, there's a good system, and the system is designed to make them better players, which is, if historically you look at the team, that's what Doc Rivers did, particularly early on, and that's what Red Auerbach did. They made players better. And people want to do that. They want their salaries to increase, they want more wins, and they want to improve. So we're bringing in, I think, people that really buy into the winning aspect, which is what the Celtics mystique is all about.
Donald Hubbard has been with us this weekend at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We want you to follow us at Twitter. Connect with us at E Radio Sports. Donald is a sports historian, author. His new book is The Greatest Celtic Stories Ever Told. We sincerely appreciate you dropping by. We've gone a little bit long, but we definitely want to have you back on. You can give us the pulse on your Celtics. Okay, Donald?
Yes, and hopefully they'll still be the number one Celtics when we speak again.
There you go. All righty, we'll talk to you soon. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you very much.
Much more straight ahead this weekend at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Join us online at eradiosports.com.